The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with the NFL, blasted by some of the league's biggest superstars. You'll hear why they're so upset and whether it could impact the season. Plus, what's the Patriots' biggest concern when it comes to Cam Newton? And is it enough to keep him on the bench? And let the voting begin. Giannis or LeBron for MVP? One of our analysts says the king has not been crowned nearly enough. But what does LeBron think? And thank you so much for joining us. It's 7 a.m. on the East Coast. This is Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith in for Mike Greenberg. And we will be with you for the next 2 hours with a lot to cover from the weekend, especially from the world of the NFL. Because believe it or not, we're just 52 days away from the Super Bowl champion Chiefs and the Houston Texans opening the NFL regular season, as rookies from both of those teams will be the first players to report to training camps today. But a big development yesterday. Dozens of NFL players took to Twitter yesterday to voice their concerns about the safety protocols put in place or lack thereof. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes said this: getting ready to report this week, hoping the NFL will come to agreement with the safe and right protocols so we can feel protected playing the sport we love. Hashtag we want to play. The Saints' Drew Brees: we need football, we need sports, we need hope. But the NFL's unwillingness to follow the recommendations of their own medical experts will prevent that. If the NFL doesn't do their part to keep players healthy, there is no football in 2020. It's that simple. Get it done, NFL. And Seahawks Russell Wilson: I am concerned. My wife is pregnant. NFL training camp is about to start, and there is still no clear plan on player health and family safety. We want to play, but football, but we also want to protect our loved ones. Again, the hashtag, we want to play. Now, over the weekend, NFLPA Vice President Sam Acho gave this recommendation if safety plans are not in place.
The recommendations for some of the rookies and also some of the players is to report, right? As of now, we have a week until all the other 90 guys are supposed to report. And so as of now, we're telling players, get ready and stay ready. But if the NFL doesn't come up with these plans, you cannot show up.
Meanwhile, Raiders owner Mark Davis had this to say about fans and safety. Quote, my mindset today is no fans. I don't even know if it's safe to play. Telling. Hearing that from an owner. And let's welcome in our team for today. Diana Russini, Damian Woody, and Rob Ninkovich. You know, guys, this is really troubling. But Diana, when I look at this, it's a blitz of sorts on social media. And you talk to some of the players who are tweeting. What is the biggest concern that they have at this point?
Yeah, they certainly wanted their message to be heard. And it's really a two-part message. It's A, we want to play, but B, we want to make sure we are safe. So really the pressing issue for players right now is they want to get tested for coronavirus every single day. The league, though, is recommending that they don't need that, that it could be every other day. The second part of this is they want to make sure that they're in football shape, meaning physically ready, right? These guys have been working out on their own. They haven't been all together at the facility. They don't want to just jump in all of this. So what they want to do is they want to get rid of all four preseason games, while the league, they want to keep two games or perhaps maybe even one. So these are two of the pressing issues right now. And both the union and the league, they're going to continue conversations. But Ryan, I can tell you, there's really only one thing we know right now. That's today, the rookies in Kansas City and the Houston Texans, they're reporting. And the rest of the veterans in the league, they will report on July 28th. How and when and how they'll figure that all out between now and then, there's still plenty of questions to be answered.
Just 8 days away and no clear plan in place, according to the players. Damian, what do you want to go to you? Would you play at this point if you were a player?
Well, I think my situation is unique, but I would say no for me. My wife has an autoimmune disease, so she's immune compromised. So that would definitely play into my decision making. And listen, these guys, they have a lot of tough choices to make. I understand what Sam Acho was talking about, having these guys report, but, you know, there's a lot of questions, you know, regarding the health and safety of the players right now. Testing, you know, how are they going to quarantine, you know, if a guy comes up positive? There's just an abundance of questions that it seems like it hasn't been answered yet. And here we are on the doorsteps of training camp, And, you know, a lot of these issues remained unresolved.
Yeah, and Rob, you know, it just boggles the mind. You think about it again, 8 days away until everybody's supposed to be in, and you still don't have it figured out. So if you were advising players right now, a lot of the guys on the roster, would you play? Would you tell them to play?
Yeah, you know, look, I know this is a tough situation because every single player is different and every single player family situation is different and there's people that you have to protect. So I would report, I would be very cautious. And I think it's up to the guys that have a platform. It's up to the big name players who have the big contracts to speak up and say something, because there's guys that are the 90th guy on the roster, the 53rd guy that's going to make this team that can't speak up. Because look, if you don't show up to camp and you're not a big time player with a big contract, they're just going to cut you and just say, all right, well, he didn't show up. Just get another guy in here. And there's plenty of guys out there that really just want an opportunity to play in the NFL. So it's going to be it's up to the guys that have the platform, like Pat Mahomes, like Drew Brees, the guys that are the big name players, to speak up and say, look, we need some more clarification on what's going to happen here. Russell Wilson, you know, he's saying he's concerned. That's a big deal. So the NFL needs to figure it out. They need to figure it out quickly. They've had plenty of time. So it needs to be decided quickly on what's the best route to go. If I was a player right now in this particular moment, I'd have to report. The players really don't have any upside to this. If you don't show up, they fine you.
Yeah, and you know, I think about this, and I think about the way the NBA handled this, and they seem to get out in front of everything. The NFL, they seem to have this confusion right now, and Diana, it makes me think about the NBA bubble. They've got one around their players. Have you had conversations, or have there been any conversations about doing the same thing with the NFL?
Yeah, I did about a month ago, and it was shot down immediately in terms of, like, the league just didn't want to go there. That being said, the NFLPA obviously has had several different phone calls over the last few weeks trying to all get on the same page here and what they're looking for and what they want. And someone brought up, look over in Australia, look at rugby, right, Ryan? Rugby is probably the closest to what we see in football in terms of that physical contact. They've been up and running for almost 8 weeks there. They have their league going and they are safe. The tests are coming back negative. So the bubble idea has worked there. But from what I can gather, that is not something the league wants to participate here in the United States.
Yeah, and I wonder, Rob, if it's the players. I wonder if you would go into the bubble if you were playing, if the NFL set one up.
Yeah, I mean, if it was available and everything was set up, I think that the NFL probably has decided that's not the best option, because how do you figure out to bring a team in, multiple teams, 32 teams for 6 months? I mean, how do you play 16 games plus playoffs in this bubble, so to speak? And, you know, the NBA was already, their season was already underway. Now they're going to go into this playoff system and then figure out who the champion is. So with the NFL not even being in the season, how do they figure that out? How do they bring 90 guys to go through a training camp in a bubble? And there's not even a facility that can do that. So the NBA is at Disney right now. Where's the NFL going to go?
Yeah, and you wonder how this is all going to be figured out with such a short time frame. All right, guys, hang on. And by the way, Sam Acho, who you heard at the top talking about his recommendations on all this, he's going to join us in the next hour. But let's get back on the field, because, guys, there's a lot of intriguing storylines as camps begin to open. So let's talk about the intrigue. Damian, Woody, what are you watching for?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's Cam Newton. I mean, this is a guy, you know, former league MVP who just signed with the New England Patriots. And the number one question everyone wants to know is Cam Newton healthy? If Cam Newton is healthy, we already know just watching his Instagram account, he's highly motivated. If the Patriots are getting a healthy, highly motivated Cam Newton, this is a weapon unlike they've ever had in New England.
Okay, Diana, how about you?
Well, Ryan, it has been such a weird, strange offseason here. Now, imagine being a head coach for the first time at a new organization. We're talking Matt Rhule, Joe Judge, Kevin Stefanski. Heck, let's even throw Mike McCarthy in this. A condensed offseason when these guys haven't even been face-to-face with any of their players. This is going to be a really big challenge to get their programs and to build a culture that they envision.
And if you don't win, there's going to be no excuses. Tough for them. Rob, what do you have?
I'm going with Dak Prescott. Look, the Dallas Cowboys obviously didn't think that Dak was in their long-term the long-term plans when they didn't pay him a long-term contract. So for Dak, it's going to have to be a mental challenge for him to go through this season to perform at a very high level, understanding that everything about his future in the NFL is going to ride on this season. And if he's going to be a Dallas Cowboy, he has to take them to the playoffs. They have to be better than 500, 8-8. So Dak Prescott has a ton of pressure on him to go out there and perform. And look, with that comes confidence. Does the team have confidence that Dak Prescott is their long-term quarterback? Obviously, they didn't sign him to a long-term deal, so I guess not.
Wow. See, that's an interesting point right there, that they didn't sign him to a long-term deal, so maybe he's not in their plans. Maybe they don't think he's the long-term solution. So, Damian, I put this to you. What's at stake for Dak Prescott, and how does he take all of that in, considering he didn't get this long-term deal?
Well, obviously, he's playing under the franchise tag, so long-term security for Dak Prescott. If you go out there and put together another, you know, big season statistically that he had, along with the Dallas Cowboys contending for a Super Bowl, then it's only going to increase the leverage that Dak Prescott had. Look, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, they offered Dak Prescott a deal, but it was more under their terms. Dak Prescott has all the leverage in this particular situation because of the way the Dallas Cowboys bungled this whole situation. So Dak right now is just focused on, let me go out here and handle my business, you know, again this year under the franchise tag, and he might be playing a situation like Kirk Cousins did with Minnesota.
Diana, I wonder, as you look at this situation, I mean, you think about Dak Prescott. I think all of us thought, hey, there's no chance he's not going to get a long-term deal, and it just didn't happen. I wonder what you would think about what it would take for the Cowboys to give up on Dak and move on.
Well, here's what I can tell you from being around the Dallas Cowboys. It's his teammates believe in him, and really, that's all that matters. Then, oh yeah, let's add all the new weapons that he just got. So in terms of his leadership, and this is really one of the biggest arguments his side was making. He's become the face of this franchise. He's been able to get these guys motivated, and he is a good guy on the field and off the field. He's done all the little things, which is what made this so complicated and difficult when it came down to getting him paid, because he's performed. Yes, he hasn't taken them to a Super Bowl, which we know was a very big sticking point as to why they didn't want to pay him all that money. But when it comes down to leading this team, these guys buy into Dak. So in terms of my concern about Dak Prescott going into the season, I have zero. In fact, I think he likes having this little chip on his shoulder.
That's interesting. I mean, I would think he would like the long-term deal, but I definitely get you on the idea that, hey, this is prove-it year for him. So, Rob, what do you think? What does it take for Dallas to say, okay, you didn't do what we wanted you to do to get that long-term deal, we want to move on?
Well, you heard Jerry Jones speak about how he wants to get back to the glory days of winning Super Bowls, back to when they were on top of the game. So I think that they have to get into the playoffs. They have to have a winning season, not just 500, not just squeaking into the playoffs, you know, through a weak division. They have to go out there, dominate, win the division, get into the playoffs. I mean, they got to get close to the Super Bowl. I think that that's what Jerry Jones wants. He knows that he doesn't have, you know, forever here to wait for another Super Bowl, so they have to get it done. It's now or never. Their team is built to win right now.
They have to get close to the Super Bowl. Damian, do you think they'll do that?
It's going to be tough. Look, Dallas Cowboys, they have a very talented roster, but when you think of the NFC, I mean, you're talking about the 49ers. You're talking about the Seattle Seahawks, the New Orleans Saints, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Green Bay Packers. There are a lot of very good teams, and the Philadelphia Eagles within their own division that will be buying. So the Dallas Cowboys are talented, but they're going to have a tall task trying to reach the Super Bowl this year.
To think them moving on from Dak Prescott. I can't even imagine it considering what he's brought them through, but we'll have to see how this year plays out. Great job, you guys. We'll be back with more football, so stick around. But for everybody else out there, take a look at this. Coming up, if you think Cam Newton is the automatic starter in Foxborough, think again. Mike Reese will tell you the one big concern inside the organization about Cam with training camp about to begin. And LeBron has 4 MVP awards. But how many times has he been snubbed? And does he care? One of his former teammates tells us what he really feels when we come back. Get Up is brought to you by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com. All right, time now for some either or, and let's start with Nick. Who would you rather have this season, Rob? Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins?
I gotta go with Rodgers. I mean, look, The guy's motivated. A motivated Aaron Rodgers. I can't imagine him being better than he was last year. He doesn't even have weapons last year. He throws 26 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. That's taking care of the football. So I want to see him out there motivated. I want to see a motivated Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to be the man this year, so I'd take an Aaron Rodgers.
All right, Damian Woody, who would you rather have this season, Dak Prescott or Carson Wentz?
I'm going to go with Dak Prescott. We know that Dak Prescott is playing under franchise tag, so you know he's going to be highly motivated. But, you know, you look at what Dak did last year, threw over 4,900 yards, over 30 touchdowns, and now you add, you know, in the draft, CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma. So he is absolutely stacked on offense with guys around him. Look for him to have another huge year.
You know, as an Eagles fan, I would be mad about that. But again, Dak doesn't have that long-term contract. Woody, who would you rather have this season, Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray?
I'm going to go with Kyler Murray. You're talking about a guy who was, the Offensive Rookie of the Year last year. Had a tremendous year playing in the air raid system under Cliff Kingsbury. And then, oh, by the way, the Arizona Cardinals go out and trade for one of the best wide receivers in the league in DeAndre Hopkins. Look for him to have a huge year in his second year.
And Woody's dark horse candidate for MVP. You know what? Many people don't know this. They don't view Murray as a true passer. But before you write him up, just take a look at his last season compared to Baker Mayfield. Murray had a higher QBR, TD interception ratio, and completed nearly 65% of his throws, while Mayfield was under 60. Mayfield also threw 21 picks, second most in the NFL, only to Jameis Winston. Now, let us run the bases, shall we? Let's get right into it. Yankee fans certainly were given 3 reasons last night to get excited for Thursday's opener, as Aaron Judge hit not one, but 2 homers in an exhibition game last night against the Mets. And his Bash brother Giancarlo Stanton also went yard as the Yankees blanked the Mets 6-0. And check this out, the Dodgers also looking ready for an opening day as reigning MVP Cody Bellinger hit a grand slam last night against the Diamondbacks en route to a 9-2 win. Bellinger and the Dodgers are going to open the season on Thursday against the Giants right here on ESPN at 10 Eastern. And then this, Shohei Ohtani had his final tune-up start, striking out 6 and allowing just 5 hits, all singles. Ohtani spent all of last season recovering from Tommy John surgery and serving as the Angels' designated hitter. But here's another big story. You know, while most teams are getting ready for the start of the baseball regular season, one team, the Toronto Blue Jays, has no idea, I mean no clue, where they will be calling home. As it was announced on Saturday, the Canada will not allow the team to play home games in Toronto. So this is a big one. How do you figure all this out? Let's go to the man who figures everything out for us in baseball, baseball insider Jeff Passan. Hey, Jeff, what are the Blue Jays' options? They're just 9 days away from their home opener.
Yeah, I hate to break it to you, Ryan. I do not have this one figured out, and neither do the Blue Jays, because while they could go to Salem Field in Buffalo, or while they could go down to their spring training home in Dunedin, they want a major league ballpark if they can, and because they don't have Rogers Center in Toronto, they have been exploring the idea of staying in the Northeast. Now, maybe that means Pittsburgh, maybe that means Baltimore, maybe that means a combination of multiple ballparks. What they don't want is to be the barnstorming Blue Jays, but what they do want is to have some semblance of normalcy in this completely abnormal year where they're going to be playing home games, just not at their home.
Yeah, and I wonder if people are going to say they're at a competitive disadvantage. This is another reason why this season shouldn't count the way others do. But I got to ask, generally, what is the level of optimism around the game regarding the league's ability to prevent an outbreak?
It's been interesting seeing over the last couple weeks, Ryan, how that optimism has actually grown. And it's grown because the numbers have caused it to grow. If you looked at last week, of the 10,000 plus tests that were given out, there were only 6 positives in the monitoring phase that came back. That's just 6 people who were bringing it into this veritable bubble that baseball has tried to create. But we also know that with opening day this week, there's going to be travel, there's going to be hotel stay. They don't have a bubble like the NBA. They don't have a bubble like the NHL wants to. And so because of that, the possibility of an outbreak is bigger than in those other sports. But the bigger existential issue for baseball, Ryan, is what happened in Toronto. It's local and state municipalities saying, no, we're not going to host baseball here anymore, and teams having to scramble at the last minute to figure out, where exactly are we going to play? And if too many teams run into that, that to me is a greater threat to the baseball season than outbreaks themselves.
Jeff, it's a great point because we keep talking about what's happening to start a season in football, in basketball, and anything, but we forget about the local and state governments that have to make it all happen. And without them, it does not happen. So are there players at all or anyone you've talked to that is voicing concerns given the Toronto news that, hey, this could happen elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, it's just something that sort of hangs over the sport right now. It's like this dark cloud that you want to ignore. And by the way, it's not just baseball. This applies to football as well. And this needs to be part of the conversation with the NFL. The NFL is not bubbling. And as long as you are a sport that is unbubbled in 2020, you are at threat at all times.
Mm. All right, Jeff Passan, great job as always. Appreciate it. Now, coming up, will Bill Belichick be able to resurrect Cam Newton's career? And is their partnership a recipe for success or disaster? We'll ask our two former Patriots when Get Up comes back. Back with you on Get Up, and for the first time in two decades, the Patriots will open camp without Tom Brady. But hope springs eternal in New England because in response, the Patriots added former NFL MVP Cam Newton on June 28th to help shore up that quarterback position. Now, Cam Newton joins Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer among the notable QBs on the Patriots roster. Now, if the job was being based solely on experience, Cam would win it hands down, running away, no problem. He has nearly 4,000 career pass attempts, 29,000 yards, got an MVP on the shelf. Stidham's career numbers you could probably count on your fingers and toes. Four career pass attempts and just 14 career yards. So let's welcome in Patriots ESPN reporter Mike Reese to talk more about the QBs. Hey, Mike, as the QBs are slated to arrive at camps this week, what is the one thing that you're looking at as you assess the Patriots quarterback options?
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Well, Ryan, start with this. It has been a long time in New England when they have had an open quarterback competition in training camp. Probably have to go back to 1993 when Drew Bledsoe was the number one overall pick and people were asking, will he be ready to go on opening day? So you're going to watch the repetitions. How are they split up between Cam Newton, Jarrett Stidham, Brian Hoyer? And a preview this last week I thought was very symbolic of that. You had Cam Newton out on the West Coast in L.A., throwing to new Patriots receiver Damir Bird, among others. And you had Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer here in Massachusetts working with starting center David Andrews and some other pass catchers. Soon they're going to come together on the same field. And how that looks and how those repetitions are split up is going to be compelling to watch.
All right. And what are you hearing from inside the organization about how they view the quarterback situation?
Well, their biggest concern, Ryan, is simply time. I mean, this is going to be a tight window to assess what they have with Cam Newton. And Bill Belichick often says, when you're in the spring, that's when you're teaching the players your system. So when they come to training camp, they can compete for jobs. Well, you didn't have that teaching period with Cam Newton and any of the other players. So now you're coming to training camp and you have to meld that teaching and that competition together. And think about this. You might name Cam Newton your starting quarterback without him even playing in a game for your team. So it's time. That's the biggest concern they have inside the organization.
Imagine that. And Mike, as you were saying that, Damian Woody's nodding his head. I want to bring in Woody and Rob Ninkovich, our former Patriots, to react to that report. Mike, thank you very much, by the way. You were nodding your head, Woody. Why?
Well, I think he brings up an interesting point. He talked about preseason games. Think about it. The players don't want preseason games. The owners want two. So here you are with the Patriots. This is your first time having a quarterback competition, like Mike Reese said, since 1993. And you might not even put your starting quarterback on the field until week one. I mean, think about that. You know, if you're the New England Patriots, that's a dicey proposition to have, that you don't have any, you might not have any preseason games to get a sense of operation, you know, all the things that you've been accustomed to throughout the years until possibly week one. That's what we could possibly be looking at.
Oh, could you imagine that? Especially after all this time with Tom Brady leading things. So, Rob, what is it like in the locker room with the organization when you got Cam Newton coming in? He's used to being the guy coming into the Patriots locker room. How will he be treated in the quarterback hierarchy?
I mean, he's going to be treated like a guy that has to come in and earn a spot and earn that starting position. Look, I can remember back when I was in situations where I'd come into the linebacker room and the depth chart is up on the chalkboard, and you look and you're like, oh, look, I'm not starting. Great. I'm in number two position. So that's kind of a little mental test to see how you respond. And look, there's always situations where the position coach is going to come in and say, look, it's up to you to change your status on where you're at on the depth chart. And sometimes they do that just to see how you react. Sometimes guys, they respond well. Sometimes guys don't. And in my particular situation, you go out there, you go into camp, you see where you're at on the depth chart. You got to go out there and you got to earn it. I would think that Cam is going to come in, possibly not being the starter because he hasn't even been in the building yet. So how can you have him be the starting quarterback? He's got to go out there. He's got to come in just like everybody else and earn a spot on that roster. Just like the 90th guy on the roster is going to have to do, he's going to have to make the team.
Wait, so just so I understand it here, is it kind of like a mind game? Were you in a situation where it's, you know, you're starting, but they're knocking you down to number two and C? Let's see how Rob responds to this.
There's always going to be, you know, challenges, mental, you know, physical. Football is mental and physically challenging. When you're going through the process of trying to make a team and you get bumped down to the second or third team, it messes with you. I mean, look, I've seen Pro Bowl players on the Patriots roster come in and have to play in the third and fourth preseason game. And they were Pro Bowlers and other teams, and they come to the Patriots and it doesn't really matter. Look, you got to come here. You got to make the team. And if you're a veteran playing in the fourth game of the preseason, that's kind of the writing on the wall. So you always have to be ready no matter what. You could come in, they could have you running with the first team. If you're running with the third team, they want to see how you respond to it. Some guys respond well, others don't.
All right. And, you know, the other issue around this is how Cam Newton meshes with the Patriots and especially Bill Belichick. Now, here's something interesting. Cam Newton was asked about it this week on his compatibility. Check this out. I said, hold on. How's me and Bill Belichick going to mesh? Because it's like perception. All right. I get it. It's like I guess Damian Woody, he kind of feels like, why do you think we wouldn't mesh? How do you think they would mesh?
Well, listen, I think that if Cam comes in hungry and humble, I think that'll be a good position for him to be in, because Rob knows this. When you're with the Patriots, it doesn't matter if you're the starting quarterback. You know, you could be a star player. Bill doesn't care. He'll undress everybody in front of the whole team. And so if you come in, you know, with this preconceived notion that I'm the guy and all those type of things, guess what? That's going to get shot down. So, you know, I think Cam throughout this whole offseason has been I think it's been challenging for him, considering the stature he had in Carolina. But I think the guy's hungry. And as long as he comes in hungry and ready to work, I think good things will happen to him in New England.
And I think you said a very important word there, the word humble. I think there is this impression by some that Cam Newton doesn't have that humility. He says he does. Other people say he does. But it's different when you're coming, Rob Ninkovich, from being the man to having to walk in the locker room and be one of the guys. So how do you think he handles that and handles Bill Belichick and meshing?
Well, I think they'll mesh perfectly fine up until they come up to a hard point in the season. Look, you're going to be excited that you're in a new position, a new place, learning a playbook, have an opportunity to get back at everybody else that passed on you. Bill Belichick is going to mesh with any player that's going to help him win football games. So, look, they're going to mesh perfectly fine right now. Week 10, we'll see if they're 5-5 or if things aren't going the right way. Maybe that's when there's not the right, you know, chemistry between the coach and the quarterback. We don't know, but at this particular moment, I think they'll mesh perfectly fine. As long as you come in, you're humble, you work hard, you try to help the team win, and you put the team first, I don't think there'll be any issues with Cam Newton and Bill Belichick if Cam Newton comes in, helps the team win, and plays like he has in the past. Now, if there is an issue, we'll see when there's a little bump in the road. There's going to be some issue come up in the season. We don't know what it's going to be, but there will be, and we'll see how they respond.
All right, you know, when you talk about Cam Newton, all he's ever talked about is I want to win. Even when people try to knock him, it's all about because I'm trying to win. Bill Belichick the same way. That alone may be bringing them together when you think about it. All right, guys, thank you so much. And check this out. Coming up, following Get Up here on ESPN, the MLS tournament continues as Inter Miami faces NYCFC at 9 Eastern. And tonight at 8 Eastern, the Philadelphia Union taking on Orlando City. Both games on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Well, still ahead, let the voting begin. Giannis or LeBron? One of our analysts says that the king has not been crowned nearly enough. So what does LeBron think about that? Welcome back to Get Up, and meanwhile on planet Earth, a.k.a. Must Be Good to Be the King. LeBron James, Upper Deck rookie card, check this out, sold at auction for $1.845 million. It set a record for any sports card produced after 1980, as only 23 versions of this particular card were made. So when SportsCenter sent an Instagram reporting this news, LeBron James responded with this interesting nugget. Guess who else has a couple of those exact ones, too? Must be nice, right? And staying in the NBA, by the way, the league announced the voting for all regular season awards will be over before the season restarts on July 30th. Now, that means that no player will be able to make a last-minute push for any of the respective awards like MVP or Rookie of the Year. So, not on the board right now at Caesars, but right before the season paused in March, Giannis was the overwhelming favorite to win his second consecutive MVP at minus 800. LeBron came in 5-1, but will not get those extra 8 games to potentially close that gap. You see him there at plus 500. Let's welcome in Brian Windhorst and Kendrick Perkins to talk about this little MVP tete-a-tete. Brian, I want to start with you. Who do you think should be the MVP?
Yeah, Giannis Antetokounmpo has had one of the greatest statistical seasons we've seen in the modern era. Don't waste your money on the 5-1. Giannis is going to win the award. There's a chance that Giannis could win both MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. He's absolutely been spectacular. You look at his numbers, the raw data is absolutely impressive when you look at his efficiency and his scoring. When you think about what he does defensively for one of the greatest defenses we've seen in the regular season in at least 10 or 15 years. And you think about that he's actually played only a little over 30 minutes a game because they were protecting his minutes. A masterful season, and he's gonna get my vote, and he's going to also be a back-to-back MVP.
He certainly is having an incredible season. So then I guess I have to ask you, Big Perk, would you waste your money on the 5-1 for LeBron?
Yeah, I would. Listen, I don't understand. LeBron, right before the pandemic, he was on Giannis' heels like a pair of socks. So I don't understand how it's just a landslide to me. And where's this same energy when LeBron was in the Eastern Conference and we was talking about it was a weak Eastern Conference? Here it is now. The Lakers haven't made the playoffs since 2013. That was 7 years ago. And now they're in the playoffs at the number one spot with LeBron James finally in his career's average. In a 20-10 season, 25 points, almost 11 assists, and 8 rebounds. And by the way, I don't just feel that way. Some of his co-workers who he play against feel that way. Dame Dollar said it during the pandemic. What LeBron doing right now is very, very special, despite being 35 in year 17. And yes, I hear all this about Giannis and what his defensive numbers is. But guess what? He have another person on his team in Brooke Lopez who have about the same defensive numbers across the board. So with that being said, I'm looking at the body of work that LeBron James is doing in a tough Western Conference, right? A tough Western Conference that everyone talk about, and he's sitting at the number one spot and playing beautiful basketball. So to me, it's not a landslide. Not at all.
Wendy, and I want to come to you this, Wendy, real quick, just a couple seconds. It's always this age-old discussion, the numbers versus the team impact when you talk about a valuable player. Is there an argument to be made that LeBron has had a bigger impact on the team being where it is?
You know, you could make a lot of different arguments, especially LeBron playing point guard this year. In my opinion, it's his best defensive season in 6 or 7 years. But finishing second in the MVP, which LeBron has done a number of times, is a real compliment. Saying you're had the second best season out of 450 players is a real compliment. And the other thing is, this isn't a question of who the best player is. I think most people would agree LeBron's the best player. It's a question of really who has the best season. And that's Giannis. There have been years where there have been players who've had incredible seasons and lost the MVP to LeBron. Now it's on the other foot.
Yeah, and you know what? You cannot fault Giannis if he wins this one because he really has had an incredible season. Now, guys, Brian, you talked about it. The idea that LeBron doesn't always win it when he should. I want to just show everybody this. He's won the award 4 times in a 5-year span from 2009 to 2013, but he hasn't won it since. LeBron has finished second or third an additional 6 times in his career. So, Big Perk, I want to go right to you. How many MVPs should LeBron have won?
He should have about 8. He got robbed because he was in a weak Eastern Conference. Listen, every time LeBron James left the Cleveland Cavaliers, they went straight to the lottery. So with that being said, is a guy this type, LeBron changes the franchise. So he should have about 8. He got robbed about 3 or 4 times. And I want to go back to Wendy's point was that when you look at the Los Angeles Lakers this year, when LeBron James is off the court, they rank 28th in the league offensively. When he's on the court, they rank 2nd, which balances out to them ranking about 6 or 7 in the league. But that's a huge drop-off, and that shows the value to his team. And we could even go back to 2005, 2006, when Steve Nash won it averaging 18-10 for the Phoenix Suns, and he had a better supporting cast. But you look at Kobe Bryant, who had the best year of his career, averaging 35 points on the Lakers roster. If you go and look at that roster when Shaq left, was pretty horrible, by the way. And he carried them and had them in the 7th seed. So, to me, it's whatever you prefer. But my opinion is the MVP is take that person off that team and what would that team be? If I take Giannis off the Bucks, guess what? The Bucks are still in the playoff hunt. If I take LeBron off the Lakers, I don't know what the Lakers would be.
All right, guys, I got to leave it there. But it is a difficult discussion when you talk about who should get that MVP. Feels like both of them should get it, really. Guys, thank you so much. Now, I want to take a turn to a very important story that we started covering on Friday. On Thursday, the Washington Post reported numerous allegations of sexual harassment against the Washington football team. Now, on Friday, owner Daniel Snyder said in a letter to the organization that he wants to change the culture of the team and that he's hired a firm, Wilkinson Walsh, to conduct an independent review of the team's policies, culture, and allegations of workplace misconduct. Our Jeremy Schapp interviewed Emily Applegate, one of the women who spoke with the Washington Post, for more on her experience and whether the team knew exactly what was going on.
I can't believe for a second that, you know, they didn't know exactly what was going on. You see somebody outside your office crying at her desk, or even a time leaving his office crying because I was belittled in front of a group of executives. So, you know, he definitely knew something was happening.
Emily, in that story, you describe your experience working for Washington as the most miserable of your life. What made it so miserable? Why was it such a horrible experience?
Yeah, I mean, anytime that anybody is belittling you in any way, especially making comments about your intelligence level, you're embarrassed, it's shameful, and it's happening on a daily basis. So imagine just being called stupid on a daily basis and then also almost in the same breath being hit on for your appearance. It's a miserable work experience. It was a dreadful drive to work and mostly a teary-eyed drive home from work. And I saw an apology that went out to the current employees of the team. It seems a little misdirected. I think there's at least 15 women that deserve an apology of some sort. And I'm sure there's countless others that didn't get a chance to tell their story. So, you know, it just doesn't seem like it's even still moving in the correct direction.
Daniel Snyder wrote a letter to each member of the organization saying in part, clearly there is work to be done to build a better organizational culture. We need to get better. And the time is now to create the culture we all want. We need your help. We want you to be a part of this process. As we go forward, you will hear more from our leadership team in the near future about this action plan. And I don't know if you remember, but the Dallas Mavericks were in a similar situation, some of their employees being accused of sexual misconduct. Mark Cuban had to come forward. He apologized in public about it. And he gave this advice. He said, if you know Dan Snyder or if you're involved with the Redskins, if you connect with them, tell Dan and tell his senior management, you've got to just recognize what you did. You just got to recognize what you did right and what you did wrong. He said that in his Ask Me Anything podcast. He also added this. You have to accept the mistakes you made. That's painful. I made a lot of mistakes. And that's the only way this is going to get resolved. I want to bring in our college football reporter, Heather Dinich. She actually lives in the Maryland area. And Heather, I want to take you to that apology letter that Dan Snyder wrote. What do you make of it? His letter in response to the allegations.
Those are the kinds of apology letters that make my blood boil because they ring so hollow. And as previously mentioned, there are 15 women who need to be specifically addressed in that letter and apologized to, as opposed to a heading that starts with team. And then furthermore, when you hear in the letter Daniel Snyder talk about how trying and difficult this offseason has been, I think cry me a river, because think about how trying and difficult it has been for those women to work there, and more so for them to come forward and talk about it. So I see that letter and I want to put it in the shredder. Mm.
And Heather, as a woman working in sports, what most stood out to you reading the story in the Washington Post?
Well, it's another dagger to the heart, but it's also not surprising at all. And I think that's the most disappointing aspect of it, is I can't think of one female sports reporter that I know that doesn't have some sort of similar story. And it's extremely unfortunate that as I sit here today, we're still talking about it and writing about it. But you know what? That's a good thing. So continue to expose it and talk about it and write about it so it stops happening. I think one of the most frustrating things I saw come out of this was young female reporters who are questioning whether or not to get into the business because of this. No, absolutely. You get into this business and you write that next story so that ownership like Daniel Snyder doesn't continue to happen.
So what do you want to see Daniel Snyder do right now?
Well, he either needs to talk to these women or step down. His next letter should probably be a letter of resignation, if we're being honest, because I've seen far too many times where people say we need to change the culture and we need to change the culture now, but Daniel Snyder is the culture.
Heather Dinitz, thank you so much for your insights and for that perspective. Really appreciate it. And we'll be back with you more as well on college football. Thanks, Heather. Well, coming up, we've got this. The NFL's biggest stars are teaming up on Twitter to rip the NFL. Why are they so upset? And how could that impact the season?